I mean, you could still send him those photos of that bird if you really want to restart conversation.
I forgot about that. I was really looking forward to having that bird conversation with him that now will probably never happen. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Finding Mr. Height, the podcast. I'm Allie, back with my co-host, Erica. Erica, hello, hello. Happy Sunday.
Hello. Happy Sunday, Allie. I have good news.
You have great news.
Great news. I passed my cellar audition, so I'm passing the cellar. very, very, very happy. I'm so excited for you. Thank you. I went into more detail on the Patreon of the full story, but it feels good. It's just a comedy milestone, and I'm both excited and relieved that part is over. And then now hopefully I will be getting some spots there, and the fans can come see me if they want to come see a comedy show. So,
I mean, I'm obviously coming to see you the next time you have a spot. Although, actually, that's probably not true because I'm going home. But the next time I'm back in the city and you have a spot, then I will be there.
Yeah, no, appreciate it. Appreciate the support. And I got a lot of very nice messages from the fans wishing me luck. And I just wanted to say, nice. Really, really appreciate it. It was very, very nice to hear from everybody. And I'm very, very excited. And it feels like things are moving in the right direction, especially since, obviously, the pandemic crash. I know a lot of people have felt their lives have been shaken up or routine shaken up, or things have been kind of feeling a little standstill for me in the comedy world. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. So this feels like a exciting boost. And I'm happy to have it. And now the real work is performing there and really proving like I belong there, and hopefully they keep booking me. So yeah, that's my fun little update up top.
Super exciting. And the story, for those who are not subscribed to the Patreon, first of all, subscribe to the Patreon. It's a lot of fun. Patreon.com/findingmrheight. The story is super interesting. Like the inside
the
baseball.
Process.
Yeah. It was like very interesting to hear all about it. So you can go there if you're interested in that story, but I'm so excited for you. I mean, this was just like a week of milestones because we also had our first live show.
We did. I mean, that also was super fun. And it was so nice to meet everyone after as well. So thank you to everybody who came out.
Yeah.
I had a good time. It was a great first ever live show. I would like to reiterate to some people. It's our very first one, guys.
Also, like, I think it's interesting to have different types. Like, this was much more for people who weren't able to come. This was much more. They do cabaret shows there. So there were, like, couches and little groupings of seating. And it was much more of, like, a mixed standing seating kind of vibe. Yeah. And
Which
then, you know, next time.
Some people liked that more.
Some people really liked it. And then I think next time we could do a more traditional show type of vibe. We can see what our vibe is. I mean, like you said, it was a test run, really.
Yeah. So for a very, very first pod ever for me live and for you.
For me too.
I was very, very happy with it and I had a great time. So
it was incredible. I just like it felt honestly like a dream. Like that sounds really cheesy, but like it really did. Like on my way home, it really felt magical and it felt like the start of something. And I'm so excited to, you know, we've already gotten some feedback from people, like great constructive feedback of, you know, things that we can do and the things they'd want to see, things that we can change or just different stuff that people would want to see out of a live show. And I just, I can't wait for what's to come.
Yeah. And if you came to the live show and you had a good time or whatever, you have some criticism, submit through our website. We take your criticism, we take your suggestions into account. So we'd love to hear the feedback from you.
And you can go there and submit feedback and, you know, cities you want to see us come to. Yeah. Guests, topics, that kind of stuff.
For sure, cities you want to see us come to, because we're going to do more live shows, baby.
Hell yeah. Definitely another one in New York, but then, you know, I'm taking this show on the road.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Do you have any other updates up top?
There is no update on Captain Kirk.
Unfortunately.
Which is a major bummer. My matchmaker is on vacation. She had been emailing me, and I eventually was just like, listen, let's just talk after New Year's. Like, you're on vacation with your kids. Like,
oh yeah.
This is not urgent. She has not spoken to him. That much I know, but she had mentioned they were like playing phone tag or something. I don't know. I basically was just like, let's just talk about this when you get back. Like, again, no urgency. I'm leaving town anyway, whatever. She also did, though, match me with my, at the time it was my sixth and final match. I highly suspect that Captain Kirk will not count. So this won't be my last match, but I have a new match.
Oh, okay. Exciting.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, not that I don't know much about him, but I haven't talked to him much, which is the point. Mm-hmm. He seems really great. We've texted a little bit and discovered that we didn't have any shared time in the city until after New Year's. I'm leaving, and then he's leaving for New Year's. So he specifically said, like, okay, when I'm back from my trip, like, I'll reach out and we'll schedule drinks.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of feel it's like better. Just no pressure.
Completely agree. I don't want to talk. He's a stranger. I don't want to talk to him for the next, 2 weeks and like build that thing up like we always talk about.
Yeah. It's always just hard of like even going on like one date. We've all had that where you go on one date. It's great. It's amazing. And then you just can't schedule the next one for a while. So you're texting. And then you go on the second one and you're like, oh, this was not what I made it up to be in my head.
Yeah. Happens all the time.
Yeah.
So
momentum and many other reasons. But I'm excited.
Totally agree.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I'm looking actually, for Jesus. I'm not even...
You're looking forward to me going on a date 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
We'll figure out a nickname for him later. I'm excited to go out with him. Also looking forward to understanding what happened with Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
Who knows?
It's annoying, but...
It's annoying. And, like, I don't really want to speculate. Could be a million reasons. I hope I will find out the reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, you could still send him those photos of that bird if you really want to re-spark conversation.
I forgot about that. I was really looking for. I was really looking forward to having that bird conversation with him that now will probably never happen.
Unfortunately, but
alas,
hell of a way to reopen the door if you feel so inclined. God. That's just a hard open.
Just a selfie of me with a bird.
Yeah, being like, you could have had this. You could have had this, baby.
If he didn't want to go out with me already, and now he'd be like, good Lord, dodged a bullet on that one.
Right. I actually do finally have a continuing update from our last episode.
Oh, exciting.
So I talked about how I got that voice memo from a guy that I matched with on Bumble, who I originally met years ago.
Yeah.
So I ended up going out with him this week. Went
awesome.
Out, had a couple drinks before a show. Very, very nice, easy to talk to. I left the date being like, there was a lot of solid good things about this person of like, he was very close with his family, which I always like as I'm close with mine.
Yeah.
He has traveled and is very like not hesitant to go explore new places, which I really, really like. Yeah. He's actually a musician. He plays bass like professionally for a living, like standing bass.
Oh, cool.
So he like works with a different variety of like groups or sometimes just gets called in to go record for someone's song. So I really, really liked that he had an interesting field in general, but also like he very much clearly is like passionate about something, loves
right.
music. And I liked that he would find gigs in like new places, partly to just go explore new places. And even with the pandemic, he was like, yeah, I decided don't renew my lease and go like travel, go wherever I can work, stay with friends. All that kind of stuff. So all those things I did really like about him, and he was very easy to talk to, very nice, very kind. The end of the day, he like walked me to, we went to drinks near my show, and he was very like, oh yeah, love to do this again sometime. And I was like, yeah, I would go on another date, like for sure. Actually had a little kiss goodbye, which is very rare for me on a first date, that I was like, okay. And I'll be honest though, I did leave the date being like, I wish I had like a stronger feeling of a general like pull and attraction to this person of like,
yeah,
like really wanting them to kiss me / just like
really wanting to go out again.
Yeah. Like I wouldn't say spark because I'm not a spark believer, but it was just a little bit of that. You're like, oh, I wish I just had like more of a, I don't know how to say it, like almost like more of an oomph, just more of a.
Yeah, or just even
desire.
More of a desire to get to know him more. Like more of a like, oh, I'm really excited to get to know this person more. Like that's
right.
A great feeling.
Yeah, so I like left the date being like, okay, yeah, for sure I'd do another one. I would like to get to know them more, to get more of a feel on them.
Yeah.
But it was one you go, but if I don't hear from them again, I don't really care, to be honest. So sometimes that's a great place to be in where you're like, okay, let's see what comes if it comes, or be quote in your feminine energy, as some people say, of you know, people coming on to you or pursuing you, whatever you want to call it. So funny that I left that date kind of like talking to myself a little bit of like, you know, Erica, this person like is pursuing you and showing interest and he has all these great qualities that you liked, like, for sure, go on another one, like, don't get in your head, just go on another one, da da da. So funny that I kind of was convincing myself, and then fast forward to, it's been almost a week, have not heard anything from this man.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he was on the same page, like maybe he was in a similar like kind of spot about it. And
right.
And then neither of you have enough like motivation to make another date happen.
Exactly. And like, I wouldn't blame it on like holiday time. I would just be like, I think maybe both of us just don't feel that hard drive, excitement. I don't know.
When I was going through, we'll talk about this more later, but when I was going through my dates of the year, I had way more of those than I realized.
Right. And that's, I made a category, we'll get to it, of like, how did it end?
Yeah.
And I literally made one. What did I call it?
I called it mutual opt out based on our conversation the other day.
Yeah. Mutual opt out. Nobody reached out. But there was also this one I made specifically of, they did text me, but didn't ask me to go out again. Like, of those people I was kind of on the fence of, I'm like, okay, like, I'm texting you back, we're talking, but like, where's the move, where's the plan for the next date? Like,
and like, in those situations, you didn't have enough excitement to go out with them again where you would make the move and make the plan.
No.
I know that you are somebody who would do that.
Yeah. There was one guy I wanted to go out with again and kept being like a pen pal. And I would just literally wrap literally every conversation alley being like, yep, well, if you want to go out again, like, let me know. Yeah, literally, I think one time I even said, yeah, I'm not looking for a pen pal. So
yeah, oh yeah, I remember that guy.
You want to go on a date again? Let me know. I have no problem saying that. But it's funny that those ones that I kind of sit there and go, if they ask me again, I will say yes. But I don't feel enough to initiate it myself, I'll say.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I've been there apparently more times than I realized this year.
Right?
Yeah,
So as of right now, I don't think there'll be another one from that. But that was my continuing update. I finally had one for the show.
Fun that you had a first date. I also forgot to mention that I have another first date. We'll see if it happens. But I have another first date from Bumble scheduled for, not actually scheduled, but planned on for after New Year's.
Okay, fun. Oh, I did. You talked about your spotlight thing, right?
Oh, yeah. This is a guy that came out of that, actually.
Funny of, I had a spotlight from whatever I upgraded in my account that I did it today because it's Sunday. I was like, oh.
Yeah. Let me try that spotlight on. Going to do it again after we... You know what? Maybe I'll just go in right now and do it.
So that, like, prime time, baby.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So this was a guy that came from that spotlight venture. And he's actually from Australia. And so he was like about to head back to Australia for like an extended trip over Christmas in like through New Year's, past New Year's.
Okay.
And so he was like, yeah, like I'll text you when I'm back and we should go out. So, you know, we'll see if he does that.
Sounds great. Love an Australian. They're very fun.
Yeah.
Fun group.
That's pretty much my update. I'm going home tomorrow. I am in no way, shape, or form prepared to have a New Year's Eve party here and host people in my home. And I am coming back 3 days before New Year's.
Okay.
So it's going to be dicey.
You'll get it done. I mean, as someone that often does better under pressure. I sometimes need pressure.
I also do better under pressure, but...
Exactly. You got it. You'll get it done.
Future me problems. Next time I am in New York City, it'll basically be New Year's, which is crazy.
Nuts. Well, perfect timing, though, for this episode.
It's very true. This is our last episode of the year. So we wanted to do our dating wraps, like those videos. So to set the stage... If you aren't on TikTok or like haven't seen, I think it's making its way to Instagram as well. But there is is a major trend going around of dating Wrapped. It happened last year too. Basically in the vein of Spotify Wrapped, where people are like going back through their dating history from the year, talking about the dates they went on, the trends they're seeing in the data. And this probably will surprise a lot of people. I did not keep track of this throughout the year. I had to do all of this today.
Yeah, I didn't either. So I was like, there's a chance some might be missing. And to those people, I'm sorry. but I did my best. I did my best to go through all the ones I could remember or looking at my old Patreon.
Yeah. I mean, I had an advantage because I just went all the way back to the beginning of the year of my TikTok and just scrolled. And anytime I saw first date was like, oh, yeah, who was that? And then I watched my own video recapping the date to remind myself what happened.
Well, then your data might be more accurate than mine, then. But I think I did a pretty good job. It's interesting to look because it's like you said, we talk about on the show all the time of your dating patterns and looking at your patterns. And it's like, all right, well, this made me sit down and look at mine of like, where are you meeting these people? What's giving you more success? Like I've never taken a numbers approach to it.
Yeah.
And I have had this conversation in general of just, all of the relationships you've been in, like people you really dated, how did you meet those people? And for me, none of them have been online. And it's like, when you look at that stat, it does make you be like, should I even bother with dating apps?
That's interesting.
So it's like, oh, this data can kind of go one way or the other. But
yeah. And I mean, we've been trying. We'll probably, let's save the details of last night's story for the Patreon, perhaps.
Yeah, we'll save that
one. But we tried.
Yeah, we tried. We tried something new.
We did try something new last night. Not in a weird, sketchy way.
just we're putting ourselves out there, guys. We're doing it. And part of the motivation is this show. And that's why I appreciate having this show. Because it makes me be like, okay, be conscious of this part of your life and, you know, make sure you try some new stuff.
And I actually, I've thought the same thing where I think there's a fine line for me between like, I am cognizant of like not doing things for content because like making sure, let me put it this way, making sure that the way that I'm behaving and the way that I'm dating, et cetera, is authentic to me and like in no way driven by content, which I think I've gotten good at making sure that that's true. But the thing that you're saying is also super true, that like the goal for me is to intentionally date to find a long-term partner. And that goes along really nicely with wanting to talk about my dating life. It's like, oh, well, I have this thing where I talk about my dating life. And oh, also I have this thing where I want to meet a long-term partner. And those two things kind of go nicely together.
Yeah. Or honestly, when I watch your like get ready videos for a date, I'm like, I was always wondering, I'm like, oh, does this like motivate you to like wear something cute and get yourself dolled up? Like, cause for me personally, that's something I struggle with in general of like, a lot of times I just don't feel like getting specifically dolled up for a date.
Yeah.
And hilariously of literally that date I just went on, I was actually in a sweatshirt. I was just like, I'm tired. I've had a long day. Like, it's a cute sweatshirt, but it's like, yeah, I didn't make myself put on a dress or make myself
do my
hair a certain way, which I'm kind of like, yeah, you know what? Who cares? And literally, I was like, do you care if I come in a sweatshirt? I actually said something. And he said, do you care if you come in a sweatshirt? And I said, no. And
that's the appropriate answer. Because imagine if he'd been like, please don't.
Yeah. But I think I just was more being like, I've had a long day. Like,
yeah,
I almost felt like this isn't a knock to you, because I'll be honest, I've had guys show up to a date dressed like very sloppy. That made me be like, come on.
Yeah.
Like a little bit of this, like, could we have a little effort here, fellas?
I'm sure,
like,
you still looked nice, even though you were wearing a sweatshirt. I'm sure you weren't like, I just rolled out of bed and didn't brush my teeth.
Right. Exactly. So it's just like, you know, but it was an interesting that I was like, yeah, screw it. And I was very much myself, very much comfortable. And it's like the dude still made a move to kiss me at the end. So
there you go. Wear sweatshirts on first dates, y'all. No, well, for me, like there's a reason that I'm in the fashion industry. Yeah, like it is a passion, and passion might be a little bit of a strong word, but like it is a strong interest of mine. Clothes, makeup, beauty, those are very strong interests of mine. It's the reason I chose the career I did. So like, I do like to do that stuff. And like, it is fun to film it because I have fun doing it, and I'd be doing it anyway.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Also, makes sense. That's just me.
Like, I've ended up in, we're like startup guys all in t-shirts, not caring. even though I got laid off, but that's where I ended up.
Yeah. So like, for me, that makes sense. Like, it makes sense. Like, it's like, oh yeah, I'm in this industry because I really like to do that stuff.
Right.
So here we are. And I actually feel like of the people that I work with or have worked with, I am the least into clothes and makeup and stuff.
That's always interesting.
Yeah. So it's like funny. It's funny to like be in different worlds and be like the most into something in one group and the least mm-hmm. into that same thing in another group.
Oh, I feel that. I feel that.
So I just got back from Costa Rica and I decided to just fully lean into my curls while I was there and was so happy that I had all of my Pros hair care customized specifically for my hair to take with me.
Oh, that's the best. You need it, especially if you're going to be in those super humid places.
Exactly. And I recently actually started trying their curl cream, which I hadn't used before. I've used their shampoo, their conditioner, their dry shampoo. The curl cream is legit.
Yeah, I like all their stuff. Their dry shampoo is one of my favorites. And I was a little intimidated when I first used it because it was like a powder in my hands. Much better than a lot of the like spray can ones I've tried elsewhere. So it's my go-to for my dry shampoo for sure.
Yeah, it was just really great to not have to worry about my hair. Like it sounds so silly, but it's a good relief.
No, but especially anyone who has travel coming up, we've all been there. You try to bring a hair dryer and it doesn't work. And it's like when you're in the heat, trying to dry your hair with heat is a nightmare. Everybody knows that. So it could be worth it to go to Pros and check out what do they have for your natural hairstyle to help your hair dry naturally even better.
Yeah, and Pros is so confident that you're going to bring out your best hair and skin that they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order, 50, at pros.com/FMH.
So you get your free consultation and then 50% off at pros.com/FMH. That's PROSE.com/FMH.
So I've talked a little bit on the pod about how I've been trying to extend my damp January into future months. And I have really been enjoying Recess mocktails as a way to have what feels like a fancy drink at home, but without the alcohol.
Yeah. And also it's nice to have something in your fridge that just has a little bit of flavor.
Totally.
And they're delicious. They're made with real fruit, sweetened with agave, and again, 0% alcohol. So just a nice little flavorful drink that is a little play on our favorites here. They got a bunch of great flavors.
My personal favorite is the Recess watermelon mojito. I actually like to garnish it like it's a actual cocktail. Like I put it in a coupe glass, feeling all fancy, garnish it with a little sprig of mint. It is delicious.
And my favorite is the Recess ginger lime mule. I'm a ginger gal. And what I love also, not too sweet. Perfect amount of just a little sweet treat.
They're absolutely delicious. And you can get 15% off Recess mocktails now at takearecess.com/FMH. So you can enjoy your favorite cocktails without the consequences. I don't know about you, Erica, but I have always been a PMS girly. Like that week before I get my period, even though I don't actually get a period anymore because of my IUD, the week when I would get it, I have always had just hormones all over the place, cravings, it's cramps, just all sorts of stuff. And it's been so much easier to manage my PMS with Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth.
So one thing I really like about this company is so many health studies they don't reveal has only been done on men. So I love a company that is actually making products not only designed for women, but is also testing them with women. Makes a huge, huge difference. Taking the Hormone Harmony isn't just for like menopause. I feel like we hear hormones and people think like, oh, that's not for me. But it can work for all of us at any age. Whether you do still have those night sweats, right? You don't have to have menopause to be hot at night, all right? That's your girl all the time. Racing thoughts and low moods, maybe poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, or the occasional bloating or gas. Hormone Harmony can help you with all of these things.
Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. And the beauty of those is they help the body adapt to any stressors, like those chaotic hormonal change that we're talking about, or any of those issues that you mentioned. The biggest benefit is just feeling like myself all the time and not having these like ups and downs.
If you're interested in getting something like this into your routine, you should definitely check them out. And we have a limited time deal for you. You can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com and just use the code FMH at checkout. Okay, so for this episode, we also polled the fans to get a feel of everybody else's dating wrapped for 2022.
Yeah.
First question we had was just, are you single or not single? I had 66% of people were single, 34% not single. How about you?
I had 69.
Oh, hell yeah.
I saw that just now, and because I just pulled it up. I checked it earlier, but I wanted the latest and greatest. So I pulled it up and out loud was like, nice. I'm actually surprised. Like, I'm excited that there are 30% of people-ish that aren't single that are listening. I think that's great.
Yeah, and interacting because it's
– Yeah, because right, not just listening, but like answering the polls.
Yeah, like we're two single people, so appreciate getting some stats of some not single.
Yeah. So the next thing we asked was, if you were single at all this year, how many first dates did you go on? I did not know what the appropriate range to put would be. Like,
same.
I did it before I had done my own stats. I was like, I don't know. Like, is 20 plus going to be ridiculous at the end of the range? And I was surprised that my followers, the average answer was like, looks like it's about 7 or 8.
I got the same thing, just below 10.
Yeah, it's not quite in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah. That's almost going on one new date a month.
Yeah, which I guess the range was okay if like the answer is like somewhere in the almost in the middle of the range.
Yeah, one person did DM me and she was like 37. I was like, oh, okay. I was like, good for you. 37, wow. She beat me. I was like, damn. And she was like, yeah,
that takes
really
energy.
It does. Good if anything, her. I was impressed. I was like,
I am impressed.
Good for you. Good for wow. you.
That's a hustle, yeah.
Right? Okay, next question. Of the first dates, where did you meet most of them? I got 84% said a dating app.
And then the rest 91. Were pretty even.
91. Oh, okay.
91 dating app on mine. But then the rest are even after that.
Yeah, that makes sense. You are the Bumble Queen. That makes sense.
the other three that we gave were through friends, stranger in the wild, or other, which like I guess Matchmaker, for example, would fall into other for me. I don't know what other
yeah, but that's, I don't think that's a super common one with most people.
Definitely
so.
Not.
Yeah, I got basically all of those were 6% each.
Yeah, maybe like at work, people would have put at work in other if they met somebody at work.
True. Maybe.
They probably would consider that other. Okay, and then we said also of those first dates, what did most of them entail? The vast majority. The options are drinks, a meal, coffee/walk, or other. And drinks was the landslide victor at 62% for me.
I had 60, about the same.
Yeah, pretty close. And then a meal and a coffee were pretty neck and neck, 18 and 16. And then other was 4%.
For mine, I put a meal/food because I thought of like dessert dates I've done, like ice cream dates.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
One just by a little bit, 23%. Coffee/walk was 14. Other was 3%.
Yeah. So and so like same. Other might be like activities or stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, this is why I've debated like just being sober for a while is I was very intrigued of how would it affect my dating and would I feel I was having better quality dates as opposed to the easy, oh, let's get a drink. It feels like very low effort, very easy. Not that I'm knocking it because especially from an app, it's like we've never met.
Yeah.
I don't expect a high investment per se, but
right,
as someone
that
likes
creative
activities. Yeah. Next question. Did anyone ghost you this year? I had 59% yes.
Exact same percentage.
Oh, shit. So 59 yes, 41 no.
Yeah, which is like, that's a bummer that basically 60% of people have been ghosted.
Yeah, but I mean, our next question is, did you ghost somebody? Which it's like, we always read this and go, oh, that's terrible. These people got ghosted. And then it's like, okay, how many of you ghosted someone? It was lower, but I wouldn't say drastically lower for my people. It was 41% said yes. So it was flipped.
Yeah. Mine was 35. So like, I'm like, 35% of you are a little suspect on being upset about being ghosted.
Yeah. Right. Which, I mean, I'll be honest with you right now, Allie. I actually looking through my dates, I was like, oh, I did ghost two people.
I ghosted one person, but we'll get into it. I I stand by my decision. We talked about it on the Patreon. The regular pod didn't hear this story, but we'll get there.
Mm-hmm. This I was very intrigued to hear of what's one thing you did differently in your dating life this year.
I was shocked at how many submissions. I think this is the most submissions that I have ever gotten for any question that I've ever posted.
I got a lot of
open-ended poll. Yeah.
Yeah, which I was very pleased because I was very intrigued to be like, okay, what are people trying differently out there?
Yeah. What themes did you notice?
I had a couple people write in about testing out ethical non-monogamy.
Oh, interesting.
Which I found very intriguing. And that's obviously something like we often can't know just by like looking at someone's you know, Instagram profile or something.
Yeah.
I had a few people that completely got off dating apps.
I saw that too. People said, even, or if they didn't, there was a theme of people trying to meet more people in real life. So whether they completely got off dating apps or whether they were just extremely intentional about diversifying, as I said on the Patreon this weekend, diversifying their traffic sources.
True. Yeah. For your, what is it?
I noticed that. My funnel. Yeah.
Funnel. Yeah.
E-commerce speak for you. And then I really, the biggest theme, which I think makes total sense based on the fact that they're listening to this podcast, is people who were upfront about what they wanted, upfront about their needs. Like just people, just there was a really, really strong theme in the answers that I got of, I just went for stuff. I said what I was feeling, or I, you know, put my needs first, like that kind of thing.
I would probably say that was the number one submission I got, was people saying something along the lines of dating with intention, being very direct and upfront of what I wanted instead of hoping to get it. And I had a few people saying, finally said point blank what I was looking for and got it and found it.
Yeah.
Which, love that for all you guys. Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
And a combination of had higher standards / better boundaries.
I was about to say the phrase better boundaries really stuck out to me when I was scrolling through, mm-hmm. which I love, love, love for all of us.
But it was very nice to hear all these. Although, okay, two made me laugh that I got.
Okay.
Ready? Here's one. Hit the suburbs.
Oh.
So I was like, well, that's honest. That someone was like,
that's great.
I was like, you know what? The city life isn't cutting it. Let's hit the burbs.
Let's move that location.
Let's try the burbs. Let's try something else. And I had one person submit, stopped offering to split the bill.
Oh, interesting.
Which, here's my take on that. I'm very like, hey, if splitting the bill is a deal breaker for you, yeah, why are you offering?
I totally agree. We talked about this a couple months ago, maybe, on the pod before you joined. I personally offer. I don't mind splitting the bill. I think it's nice if the person who asked you out pays for it. It's not a deal breaker for me. I don't like the test. I don't like the offer to see if they'll accept what they probably assume is a genuine offer, because why wouldn't it be?
Yeah. And Jared Free did a TED talk about this, and he surveyed a ton of men, and he has a, you know, bigger following than me. And all of them were like, we're assuming we're paying for the date. And the only reason we do is because we feel like we split it or let the other person pay is because we feel like they want to.
Right. Because why would you offer to split it if you weren't genuinely willing and able to split it?
So I agree. I'm like, it is a weird test.
Yeah.
To be giving someone, or it's like, yeah, if you offer, you can't be mad and hold that against them if they take you up on your offer.
I fully agree. And I, while also thinking that it's okay if that's a deal breaker for you, but like, I don't necessarily think that test is doing what you think it is.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. I'm like, if that's a deal breaker, have it be your deal breaker. Because I've had it be a deal breaker in the sense of like, I sit there and I say, well, if I had a son, I would raise them to pay for the bill the way that I guess I was raised in my house, I'll say, like more traditional. Yeah. So it's kind of like, yeah, I would like to be with someone who kind of has those similar values. But I'm not going to sit there and test them or offer and then be mad that I had to pay. Like,
not me either.
What are we doing? Yeah, but those are my highlights.
Yeah, I really loved it. I was truly floored by how many responses I got. And I thought it was really cool. This person said gave up. Cool.
Which, I mean, I think I had two that were like finally got back out there.
Yeah,
in 2020, a lot of people just fully shut it down.
Also, on the flip side of things, saw a lot of people saying took breaks when I needed it. And I thought that was kind of in line with the better boundaries thing of like noticing when you're feeling overwhelmed, noticing when you're not bringing your best self to dating because you're overwhelmed, you're burned out, whatever it is, take a break.
Yeah. Focus on something else.
Yeah.
Recharge. Okay, so now we have our I keep wanting to say Spotify Wrapped, our dating Wrapped.
We do have a Spotify Wrapped that I keep forgetting to post.
Oh, yeah, we do. All right. Which one do you want to hit first?
How many first dates did you go on? So, oh, well, we're both single, so we could start with that question.
Okay, yes. Both single. there was, yeah, this year there was only like 2 months I wasn't, I'd say 3 months, I wasn't really looking to go on other dates that I was seeing the relationship guy.
Yeah. That's interesting. So, I mean, I was technically single. I was never exclusive with anybody the entire year, like in terms of like we've agreed to be exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't seeing anybody else for the first 2 months of the year. Not quite two. For the first like 5 weeks of the year, because I was still dating the rower and like not really open to other people. And then there was like a month or so, I would say. Felt like longer, but looking back on it, when I was actually going, this was actually interesting. Going back through my TikToks was the way that I did this, like I mentioned. And so I was also able to see when the dates were, because I could see when I posted the video, and I always post it basically the next day. And it just, it's crazy how time warps in your mind.
Oh, I mean, especially crazy if we had a question we'll get to about crying about somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, now that feels so long ago.
Yes.
And it's like, realistically, Erica, what was the last time you cried about that person? I don't know, 3 months ago, but it feels like a year.
Yeah, it's so what I realized. So I was about to say that there was about a month when I wasn't going on any other dates besides the disco ball.
Mm-hmm.
That felt like so much longer. And I dated him for longer than that, but it was only about a month when I had decided, like, you know what? I'm not, like I said earlier, I'm not bringing my best self to dating anybody else right now,
mm-hmm.
because I'm into this guy and I'm going to see where it goes.
Yeah. And that's also why that time seems longer, is because your brain was so occupied and focused on something during that time. Yeah.
Yeah. It made sense. Like, I wouldn't have been fair to anybody else to be dating anybody else. So it made sense to do that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, looking back on it, I was like, damn, that was not actually that long.
No, not at all. Okay. So first dates. I had a total of total people, so I guess that's total first dates, was 19.
Oh, we're really close.
Oh, I thought you were going to blow me out of the water on this one.
I haven't dated much in this past.
Oh, okay.
Like the past like three or four months or so. Minus 20 people.
Oh, okay.
But technically only 18 first dates, because the rower first date was in 2021. So I didn't go on a first date with him in 2022. He's in that number 20.
Yeah. Okay.
But we didn't go on a first date this year. Sure. And then the comeback kid, I dated him years ago. So we did not go on a first date. It was our third date, technically.
Got it.
So they're both in these numbers that I'm like going to use, but I just thought that was kind of interesting.
Okay. So from your stats, I'm curious, how many people got a second date / what percentage made it to a second date?
I'm including the rower in all these numbers, even though technically we only went on New Year's was our fifth date.
Okay.
So, but like, I felt weird. Like it doesn't make, the numbers don't make sense if he's not in there.
Yeah.
So I just included him. So of the 20 people, 5 or 25% exactly made it to second dates.
You're very close to me. Mine was 4 people, so it was 21% made it to a second
date. Damn, we're so close.
It's like, damn, okay.
And I actually, if you made it to a second, you made it to a fourth this year for me.
That's a very interesting.
Yeah.
I only have one that made it to a third date, and then that was the relationship guy, and he was like total of like about 8 dates, I guess.
Yeah.
I didn't have the exact numbers. Yeah. So,
or sorry, third date. 'Cause the Padre made it to 3 dates, but then I had the rower, the disco ball, the comeback kid, and the journalist. Obviously the rower and the disco ball, I went on 10 plus dates with.
Yeah.
But then the comeback kid and the journalist, I went on 4 dates with them this year.
Okay. I mean, I feel like for most people, like if you make it to a third, there is that high chance for the fourth. And I feel like that's why mine is often that second date is
that's the drop off.
Yeah. I know. And I try to make it to a third because I've seen so much, you know, dating and relationship data, like Logan Urie, I love, because all her stuff is very data driven,
yep.
and research based. And she's a big component of, like, for sure go on the second date, but even more so, like, the attraction thing specifically, a lot of times for women, of not fully feeling that attraction and that pull. Many, many people say, like, get to the third. And if, and if you really aren't feeling it at the third, that's a really fair try.
So on that note, so obviously both of our second date percentages are fairly low in the, like, in the 20s, right? What percent would you have gone on a second?
That I didn't get one?
No, just total.
Oh. Let me calculate it right now. I'd say there was like, five other people I would have gone on a second if they had asked. So if we count them, it only bumps me up. That would bump me up to 47%, so almost half.
It bumps me up to 45 if I include, this is weird that our stats are so similar. Consider it, yeah, like, that's just really weird. Yeah, so if I include, basically, I did a stat that was like, did I want more, quote unquote? And it was yes, no, and maybe. And my, because I wanted to delineate between like the definite yeses versus the, like, I, like you said, I would go out if they asked people.
That's what I'm
saying.
And
if I include,
I was just, for me, there was only one that stuck in my mind that I really wanted a second date, and we didn't go out on another one.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your train of thought.
No, but that's, so it's just interesting that if I include those people, it's, yeah, it's about half.
It would be more, yeah. So, hey, I look at that of like, it's not like I'm not willing to do the second date.
Well, what that kind of said to me, though, is that, like, so I, let's just skip ahead to the stat of like that number. So for me, the like mutual opt out thing that we talked about,
of how does it end? Nobody reaches.
Yeah. Of how did it, how does it end? Mutual opt out was 8 of my 20 people.
Mine was
so 40%.
Yeah. Mine was 63%. That just,
oh wow.
Nobody reached out. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I was surprised to see that it was that high, and it actually got me thinking, like, I think that's something I want to change. I want to be more decisive of either absolutely I want to give this another chance. And like Logan Urey says, I think I should hedge in that direction more often. Mm-hmm. Or let's not be wishy-washy about it. If I'm not into this, I'm not into this. Because there are people that are in that maybe camp that – I know based on my date recap video, basically, that I would have said yes if they'd asked me out again, but that I probably shouldn't have said yes.
Interesting. So you're basically changing it to, I will reach out if I go, yes, I would go on a second date again.
Yeah.
And if you sit there and say, I wouldn't reach out, then just, it's just going to be a no.
It's just going to be a no. Yeah. Like, that means it's a no.
Right.
If I don't want to go enough, if I don't want to go out with them enough to reach out. Mm-hmm. Then that means it's a no. But I think I want to reach out a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's just, it's a little bit of this thing that it's like, yeah, sometimes it's just, it would make me more attracted to them if they did pursue me. I'll admit that.
I totally understand that.
If they had a little more drive and a little more pursuing, and I don't like saying the word wooing, because I'm not saying like, show up and buying me flowers, but just, you know, showing that interest. Like, is the thing that can persuade you sometimes. So I don't know if I would do exactly your method, because I do feel I do that. If I really want the second date, I will just throw it out there. And even when I feel in my gut that they're not into it, I'm like, I don't care. I'll throw it out there and then move on with my life. So
I think it's because, like, as I'm thinking about, as I went through those actual people, I'm like, I should have reached out to them. Like, not all of them, but there are like a few where I'm like, oh, like I should have. Like, I'm not sitting here thinking like, oh my God, he's the one that got away.
Yeah.
But like, I think I was too quick to decide not to. And I do know that some of this is because there are times when I, like, some of this happens when I was in the early stages of dating the disco ball. Mm-hmm. So like, I do know that that had an impact on me. Yeah. I mean, obviously it would.
Yeah, but at the time you recognized it because you essentially took that month where you said, you know what?
Yeah.
It's kind of not worth it for me mentally to be going on these other dates, and I'm not really giving them a fair shot. So I think that's pretty self-aware to say.
Oh, well, thank you.
No problem. What were your other ending stats? I admitted this earlier, but I have the ghosting where I ghosted them.
Mm-hmm.
It was two people, so 11%. And one was one that I should have sent a message along the lines of like, hey, I had a nice time on the first date. I, to be honest, I'm not really feeling it for the second date.
Yeah.
Whatever, some type of nice text script. The other one I do stand by as I got a huge, very long message from someone like on my way home from the date. And it had like a breakdown of like different parts of the date. One breakdown was like, also, you are really pretty. And I really liked that. Like, it was like a crazy kind of synopsis. Sorry, I hate to call people crazy, so I don't mean crazy. But it was a synopsis kind of like of what I looked like. And then a synopsis of like, also, you're a great conversationalist. And I could see why you host a podcast. And
so it was like a Yelp review.
It was. I remember screenshotting this to you, Allie. It was that.
You did.
It was a super long. And I got that message and I just was sitting there being like, I don't know how to answer this. It was just a lot.
Yeah, I understand that.
And it was one of those dates that at the end they were like, would love to do this again, da da da. And I was like, yeah, I got to look at my schedule. Like, I'll let you know. And I kept it vague because I hate caving to saying, yeah, sure. And in your head, you're like, no, I know I don't want another one.
But you don't always feel comfortable in the moment. Like you, especially if you're getting that kind of energy from someone, you don't know how they're going to react to a live rejection. Like that can be a lot.
Right. And I am a fan of like, let me sleep on it a little.
Yeah.
Give me a second to come to the decision and not make me be decisive in that moment. But
yeah.
So I'm like, one, I stand by. The other one, I was like, I should have, and I wouldn't have told him this reason, but the reason I didn't want to do another one was it turns out he lied about a couple things on his dating profile. So then upon the date in person, like I wasn't really remembering. And then I checked his dating profile and I was like, ooh, for me to be on the fence. And then I see that you like lied about a few things like your age and other stuff. I was like, you know what? That's just too much of a red flag for me. I was like, I don't
know.
But still, I think I should have at least answered his message. I do think I should have.
In an ideal world, sure. But like in that one, I understand why you didn't.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. So, you should never ghost people. And then it's like, shit happens. If anything, looking at the year made me go, all right, when I've been ghosted, all right. You know, they probably just didn't know what to say. They probably just didn't know what to say. Didn't want to give me the honest reason. Whatever.
Yeah. I did ghost someone this year. But
so you only have one.
I only have one, 5%. I fully stand by it because it wasn't even quite a first date, but I did include him. It was a guy – I really only talked about it on the Patreon. It was a guy that we met up at – so Cindy and I were going – we went to this concert in Prospect Park together. And I was talking to a guy on Bumble that day who was also going. And we made plans to meet up. And it turned out he did already have the ticket because they were sold out. There's no way that he could have gotten this ticket after we had the conversation. But he wasn't there with anyone else. And it turned into basically a first date that Cindy was also on that I didn't intend on having. Like we had said in our messages that we were just going to like meet up for a beer at the beer tent and like go our separate ways. And that is not what happened. And he made me so uncomfortable and he kept touching me even when I asked him not to.
Mm.
Like I was wearing a backless top and he kept like sliding his hand into my top.
Oh. Ooh.
To the point where Cindy noticed that I was uncomfortable and like helped me escape. And we literally like ran from this guy.
Yeah, I don't blame you. That's very uncomfortable.
And so he did text me and I did ghost him. But I honestly – he made me so uncomfortable. I was just overwhelmed by all of it.
Yeah. I don't blame you on that one.
Yeah. So that's the only time that I ghosted. I was ghosted twice.
Interesting. I couldn't remember any of these people ghosting me.
That's great.
I don't think any of them
dating good people.
Which was nice, I guess.
Yeah.
Not a brag.
The people who ghosted me were people that I went on multiple dates with.
Oh, yeah.
So that was great.
R.I.P.
I know.
So I said I had this weird stat of I had they did text me, so there was communication. However, no other date was planned. They didn't ask, yeah. And I didn't ask.
So more like a slow fade kind of thing?
I would honestly put this as a category of someone that would have had sex with you that went on a date with you. However, that's all they wanted. That's how I write those situations off. It's like,
yeah, fair.
They're floating around and it's like, oh, if I see this man again, it's going to be a real last minute. Oh, you out right now? Let's meet up. Like, oh, there's some comfortability. Have we already met? So that was 4, which was 21%. And then they ended it. I had 1, 5%. And that was a relationship guy. He technically pulled the cord first. But
yeah, I have. So I had the mutual opt out, which was 8, 40%. I ghosted was 1, 5%. He ghosted was 2, 10%. Then I had 2 phone calls.
Oh.
Both the rower and the journalist ended as phone calls.
Oh, right.
Ended with phone calls. Technically, so this is where I, in the who ended column, the rower is tagged as me question mark because technically I am the one who called him and said I'm not okay with this anymore and I want to stop dating.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't have if he wanted to date only me, so
he I still count that as you. That was you.
Yeah, I think it was me, but like not for the normal breakup reasons.
Yeah, I get that.
So that was that. And then there were 7 people that I texted and said I wasn't interested. 35% I texted to say I wasn't interested.
You know what's funny? I feel like this year I don't know if I ever had to give that official text. I think maybe I only did twice. I couldn't remember, so I didn't include it in mine.
I did a bunch. Oh, and then there was one person who texted me that they weren't interested.
Yeah. All right. Well, what other breakdowns do we have to give before I wrap this up?
Where we met people.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this is an easy, quick one. So mine is, these were my 4 options. Bumble, Hinge, in real life, mm-hmm. and set up by somebody.
Oh, you had a setup.
I had 2 setups, actually. 2 people that were introduced to me by a friend to go out with. So that's 11%. In real life, I had 3 people, 16%. Hinge was 5, 26%. Bumble was 9, 47%. So a trend I changed this year was I got back on Bumble. For 2 years, I really didn't get on that app really at all.
Yeah, well, as we know, I am a Bumble queen. So my only 3 options are Bumble, Hinge, and Matchmaker. I didn't meet anybody in person this year, which looking back on the year, that is a massive thing that I want to change in 2023. I want to meet more people in person. I did go to 4 singles events.
Oh,
so I was happy
did.
About that. 2 of them were, 3 of them were with you, actually.
Oh, you know what? That reminds me. I did 2 speed dating events, but I didn't count them in these dates because I felt
I didn't count. I didn't do that. Yeah. I didn't count my speed dating event either.
Right. But yeah, I did a handful of live events this year. It didn't turn into any dates, but I tried.
Yeah. You and I went to the 2 Thursday events, and then we did the chaotic singles event. And then I also did 1 speed dating event. So that's something I want to change. In 2023, I want to get better at meeting people in person. I'm really bad at it. Like I just... So you and I went out last night with the intention of meeting people, which that didn't happen for reasons that were outside of our control. But I just am not – I don't like talking to strangers. Like it's very – people are surprised to find this out about me because I am such an extrovert. I am a consummate extrovert. I get energy from being around people. I get energy from groups and energy from being out and being social, but I don't like talking to strangers. I don't like small talk at all, and I'm bad at it because I'm bad at pretending that I'm enjoying it when I'm not.
I get what you mean. I mean, this is why I've never been able to like be dating someone, not be into it anymore, and like do that like, oh, I'll end it in 2 months though.
No,
I can't fake this. So that is, yeah. I don't mind talking to people in person.
No, you're
strangers.
Much better at it than I am.
But what's funny
I've
is if
seen
you said
it firsthand.
But if you said to me, it's funny, someone submitted that on my questions today. It was like, oh, like how to get flirty banter going on a date and like be more
flirty. That I'm good at,
to be honest with you. That's that I don't think I'm good at. It really depends. Like, I'm like, I don't, that was a question I was like, I don't know what to tell you. I don't sit here and go, I think I'm the best flirter. I am good at like initiating a conversation and opening the door per se, but to like get in that flirty mood and flirty vibe, I don't naturally have that feeling a lot with people. That's something I'm like, I have tried to improve that, and I don't know what advice to give in that department.
That I'm definitely good at, but I have to already be in the mindset, like, I'm on a date with you, for example.
That makes sense. I get that.
I'm not like, you know, or we've started talking somehow at a bar and now we're flirty. Like, then once I'm over the hurdle of you being a stranger that I'm making small talk with for no reason, then I'm great. But it's just, it's real hard. So that's something that I want to, and I have a lot of like shame and embarrassment about walking up to people in public that I absolutely shouldn't have.
Interesting, because anytime I think about initiating someone I see in real life, just even conversational, the thing I always repeat to myself is people want to be talked to.
It's so true.
Especially like if we're in a bar situation or so, like where I'm just like, you know, I'm like, everybody goes out with that thought of, oh, maybe I'll talk to somebody. And it's whatever I'm doing is flattering. So even if they're not interested, it is flattering that that someone initiated with them.
That's true. I think that could help me, because although I said very true when you said people want to be talked to, I don't.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, you don't.
So I don't want to be talked to. That's not actually true. But like,
you're a little more timid to be talked to. Yeah.
Yes. So I think that wouldn't help me, because I'd be like, oh shit, if the other person's like me, then they are not going to be into this if they're not interested. But I think trying to frame it as like, it's a flattering thing no matter what.
Yeah.
That could help me. So I like that reframe.
Like, even if they're not interested in me, it's like, I just put a little pep in their step.
Yeah.
They're going to be a little flattered that I, you know, smiled at them, said something, like.
Totally.
You know, they get to go back to their boys and be like, oh, that girl was totally like, she totally wanted me.
She was hitting
me.
On me.
Yeah. Whatever.
Totally bring her home. Yeah. So anyway, but of those things, I had an overwhelming percentage was Bumble. 11 of the 20 or 55% came from Bumble.
Okay.
Only 5% No, sorry. Only 5 people, 25% from Hinge, and then 4 people, 20% from my matchmaker.
Okay. I was going to say, of the matchmaker dates, I'm the most interested of how many of those typically make it to a second date.
More than in my full matchmaker thing, I will add in 2 other people. From 2021, I think I went on 2 matchmaker dates in 2021. Now I'm losing track. I'm losing track. But only 1. Nope, 2. Only 2 of the 6 people that I've gone out with through my matchmaker, I haven't gone on a second date with. So I guess said the other way, 2/3.
So
yeah. 2/3 of people, 66% of people that I go out with through my matchmaker have made it to a second date. And actually, all of those made it to a third. I'm just trying to think in my head. But yeah, all of those made it to a third.
So do you mind if I ask? If, say you, whatever, you're the end of your current subscription, whatever you call it, with your matchmaker.
Yeah.
That ends. Do you think you would renew to do another, you know, potentially 6 dates or however many months with a matchmaker?
I'm not going to immediately after. But the only reason is because I have a certain amount of money per month. It's more per year, because it doesn't usually happen in an evenly split way. I have a certain amount of money per year that I budget myself to spend on things like this.
Okay.
Like expensive things that are like one-time purchase type of things.
Yeah.
And I have allocated that money in different ways already in 2023.
Okay. Makes sense. But so you're
not opposed. Yeah, no, I'm absolutely not opposed, but it's not currently in the budget.
Got it. I mean, I think this is how most people feel of the idea of a matchmaker. I feel that way. If I was like, if money was no object to me, I absolutely would hire a matchmaker and go, why not? Let me see what this does. Let me outsource this work.
If it was free, absolutely.
Yeah,
but that's why I struggle to answer the question when people ask, is it worth it? To me, it absolutely was. right. and continues to be, even if I don't meet a partner from it, I've really enjoyed the experience and I've learned a lot about what I'm looking for and how to articulate what I'm looking for to someone else.
Interesting.
Has helped me, like, having to articulate what I'm looking for and also as after I go on each date, debrief it with somebody in a way that's like, oh, I kind of forgot to tell you this. We should shift things. That has taught me a lot. And I think that has been really valuable. But the reason why it's difficult for me to tell people if it's worth it or not is like, it depends on how much disposable income you have.
It really does. Because I'm someone, especially, you know, just being laid off from my day job, my income just decreased drastically. So even with that day job, though, I would be one of those people that like, okay, if you say to me, here's a dollar amount, if you paid this dollar amount, I would give you your soulmate. Would you pay it? I'd go, yeah, absolutely. Right. Sure. However, here's a dollar amount. You can have a chance at finding your soulmate. If I essentially don't end up, I won't even say soulmate. I'll just say end up in a relationship from any of the matchmaker matches, I personally would go, I felt like this was a waste of money.
Yeah.
Like I know then, myself and I would be frustrated. For you. So it's not, it's money that I'm like, as of right now, I don't have it to put in that direction. But that's why it's an interesting, I think it would be an interesting experience. And I do think a lot of people would learn from it. So it's like, I've been tempted.
Yeah, I definitely have.
Haven't had the means to try that yet. So that's no shade to matchmakers. I think what they do is very helpful and very interesting. So
yeah. I also have the added bonus of like, there was the extra thing of, oh, this is a good thing for me to have personally experienced because a lot of clients ask about it.
True. Very true.
So it was also like there's a business use for me. So it's a little bit of a different, thought process about whether it's worth it or not.
I get that. Okay. So the last two wrap ups here. What were your dates? I accidentally counted, I think, all of the dates, not just first ones for this one. So excuse me if I did that wrong. So drinks was 20, so 69%. Coffee was two. Those were two first dates, 7%. A walk was one. That was technically a second date, but whatever, 3%. Some type of activity were 3, 10%. Food was 3, 10%. So very, very strongly drinks.
Yeah. I only counted first dates. Meals would be much higher. Meals and activities would be much higher if I'd counted the other
same
dates.
Here. I didn't. So that's why mine were higher.
But drinks was still lower than yours though, even not including even only including first dates. So drinks was 13%, 65%. Or excuse me, 13 dates, 65%. Then I had even split for meal, activity, and coffee. I did coffee and walk because the two walks that I went on, we had coffee.
Yeah, that makes
sense. So I didn't have any coffee dates that didn't include a walk. So those were two each or 10% each. And then I had one virtual date this year.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I had a handful in 2020, but after that, I haven't done a virtual one.
Yeah, it was a guy who that was part of his thing. Then he was like, it was a deal breaker for him. If you don't want to go on a virtual date. And I was like, yeah, okay, sure. But then we never went on a physical date.
I'm really not opposed to like the FaceTime before meeting, especially from online, but I've found it to be very frustrating of being the one initiating that. And I, especially after 2020, I felt a lot of people were burned by the virtual date, that so many people were like, I am never doing that again. And I'm like, all right, fine. We'll meet in real life. Like, cool.
Yeah. I don't prefer to. I will do it if that's what somebody wants to do, because I mean, why not? It doesn't take very much time, but I don't think it's a good necessarily gauge of what your in-person vibe is going to be.
It's hard for it to not feel interviewee.
Yeah. I mean, I've even had awkward virtual interactions with people on this podcast because of like technological difficulties, or like you can't quite – you're not sure if the other person's going to start talking. Like it's awkward and it's not even a date with a stranger. So,
I get it. So this next one, we put together an interesting one that I don't think I saw on people's, little dating app things. And I added to it personally. You don't have to add to it if you want, but it got me thinking. So we had basically, how many of these people you went on dates with did you end up crying about or crying over? Mine was one. There was only one person that I got emotional, cried over situation. And so 5%. I added how many people of these people I went on dates with did I sleep with at some point? Mm. And then I also added how many of these people did I kiss at some point? So let's start with kissed. Let's start with base one. First base, anyway. Mine was 8 people. So 42%. And I actually was like surprised at that.
I wish I'd kissed more people this year.
No. Well, hilarious. I had that same feeling, Allie. So I was like, oh, I'm like, I never like really kiss anybody or what. But I think it's because in my head, I think make out, like a full on make out.
Oh, yeah.
Going through these dates jogged my memory where I was like, oh, there actually was 8 people you like had a kiss at the end or at one point in your date. So I was like, oh, that was
jealous.
Shockingly much higher than I thought. And then slept with, I had 2 of these people that I went out with, I did sleep with at some point, and that's 11%.
I only kissed 4 people this year.
Interesting.
Which means that I did not, which this surprised me. I did not kiss anyone and then not go on a second date with them.
That makes sense to me. Yeah, that makes sense.
But that's not the case for you though, right? Because you didn't go on 8 second dates.
That is very true, Allie. I did not.
No, but I don't mean to call you out, but historically that hasn't been the case for me. That's why I was surprised.
Okay.
Because No.
No, it's fine. I didn't realize that either.
Yeah, you're like, that makes sense. I'm like, no, wait, but wait. No, because so in the past, I actually think that this speaks to better boundaries on my part.
Hmm.
Because I think in the past, those people that were floating in that maybe camp.
Yeah.
In the past, I would have kissed them, even though I didn't really want to.
Mm.
And then we would never go out again. And I'd be like, why did I kiss that guy? I didn't even want to.
Interesting. I mean, if you broke down the people I really wanted to have that goodbye kiss with, it would be less than 8. It would be less than 8.
But, yeah.
You know, none of them were situations that I felt was like a forced thing or I felt unsafe or like my boundaries broken. It was like one of those I just was like, shrug. Like, all right, let's see what this is. Let's see if this changes my mind, you know?
And that's where, when I say better boundaries, I just mean like individually on my own being like, I don't feel good. I haven't felt good in those scenarios in the past, not because of anything he did.
Yeah.
I was there kissing too. But just being like,
I kissed back.
Yeah. But like actively. But I often would be like, ugh, I didn't really want to. Or like, you know, I wish I hadn't kissed that guy. So actually when I looked at this and was like, oh, I actually do wish, I simultaneously wish that I'd made out more this year while also being happy with myself that I didn't regret kissing anyone.
Okay. All right. I respect that.
So I guess.
Wait, what about the big question though? How many of these people you went on dates with did you cry over?
Oh, I thought the sex one was the big one.
Oh, I didn't know if you were going to share that. So I'll take hot juicy info too. Okay.
It's 2. People could probably decide who those people are. I only cried over 1, and I was actually very, very surprised to go back and realize that I never cried over the disco ball.
I mean, I think that's mostly because of the brutal ending on that one.
Probably. I mean, everyone knows I cried over the roar because I posted a video while crying. So that's an obvious one. And I cried several times over the roar,
mm-hmm.
including after we broke up when it like, you know, waves will hit you, whatever. But I was surprised with myself that I think you're right. I think some of it is like, a kind of fuck that guy mentality of like, wow, that was really shitty that he never responded to me. What the fuck?
Yeah.
And I never went to that emotion. Like I never went to that emotional crying place about it.
Mm-hmm.
I wish he hadn't done that. I'm not happy that that happened.
Yeah.
But that I do think that that's why I didn't cry over him. But I was surprised going back to be like, wait, I didn't.
Mm. I get that.
It was interesting. So Yeah, so only tears over. I cried a whole lot this year, just only over one dude in particular. Cried for plenty of other reasons.
Yeah, I cried a decent amount over my dude too. I feel that.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Oh.
On to the next. There's always another bust.
On to 2023. Hopefully, more kissing and less crying.
Yes. Hope that for everybody.
Yes. Yeah. More kissing and less crying in 2023. Let's do it.
Less tears. All right. Well, this was definitely a fun experiment to do. So if people feel so inclined, I encourage you to go look, see your own patterns, see if you make any new goals for 2023.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you to help me stay accountable to my desire to meet people in person.
I'll do my best. I'll do my best.
Especially while you're still here. Because after you're gone, I'm just staying home all the time. So.
Yeah, you got to get out there, baby. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening.
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk to you all next week.
Bye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.